And the Nats have a new team president and general manager that they've got to decide on in the future, and a new manager to hunt down this offseason. We'll be talking about that with Jeff Passan in just a moment. We're brought to you today every day by the law firm Kondori & Murad.
Exclusively so. You can hit them up for estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
A 17-word tweet changed D.C. baseball for a long, long time last night. It came from Jeff Passan right around 6:30 local time. The best writer covering baseball in America is also the top newsbreaker, and he joins us now. The tweet was, breaking, the Nationals have fired general manager Mike Rizzo and manager Davey Martinez, sources tell ESPN. So, Jeff, first of all, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are well. We appreciate you making time for us. We know you're busy. What do you make of the timing of this? The week of the Major League Baseball draft, the month of the trade deadline, Rizzo having run both of those things for 17 years here.
The timing doesn't make a whole lot of sense in a vacuum, but if you look at the fact that Dave Martinez's contract option needed to be decided on by next week, that was the deadline for it. And the Nationals brass decided that they were not going to pick it up. I think they were really scared of Jim Riggleman 2.0. And that is something that I've been talking about this all day on other radio stations and haven't been able to bring up Jim Riggleman because people don't understand what a disaster it was. But you guys know, like, it was a mess. You know, the team was winning, and he said, either you pick up my option for next year or I'm going to quit. And Mike Rizzo called his bluff, and he quit in the middle of the season, in the middle of a successful run. And everybody was so confused by it. And the prospect of having Dave Martinez playing out the year as a lame duck manager just did not appeal to the Nationals, and understandably so. But I would have thought, if given all of those circumstances before that, that they would have let go of him but kept Mike Rizzo on at least through the trade deadline. Clearly, though, they the ownership group saw the two as a pair, as tethered together, and decided to make the change in one fell swoop. And while I know that Mike DiBartolo will be plenty prepared for this, and he's the sort of guy who is very judicious in how he goes about forming his opinions, it's a whole lot different when you're in the big chair, you know, when you're the person who is saying yes or no to a trade, yes or no to, are we going to take this guy with the number one overall pick? Only the third time we've had that in our franchise history, when the first two were Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper. It's a lot of pressure to put on a guy, but it's a mantle that he is taking with open arms, and you just hope, if you're a Nationals fan right now, that they nail this pick, because it's going to be one of the most important in the history of the team.
Well said. Jeff Passan of ESPN. So to go back to them being inextricably linked, so to speak, you know, so the 15th is when I heard Davey's deadline was to pick up the option in 8 days, as you said, and that was for $2.5 million, and they weren't going to do that, and I totally understand that. But I want to double-click on this idea that then Rizzo couldn't have GM'd out the season. Was his option also this month, do we know? Because I haven't been able to confirm that, and the reason I ask is, in asking around to other executives, that would be really weird. If his option is between the draft and the trade deadline, like, that would have been set up from the beginning to be dysfunctional.
Others have reported that. I have not independently gotten that information. So that is something that I do not know the answer to. And
isn't that uncommon, though, Jeff? Wouldn't that? I mean, that just seems like it makes no sense to me. That his option would be now.
You know what, though? Having a manager's option in the middle of the season is weird, too.
That's a good point.
That's the sort of standard operating procedure you generally see either. Like, these are decisions that tend to be made before or after seasons, not in the middle of them.
Jeff, on a pretty simple scale, they haven't been very good, this Nationals team. Second most losses in the big since they won the World Series in 2019. So people losing their jobs over that, this is pro sports, that kind of makes sense. But what is your sense of ownership and where they are, where they've been, what's going on there? Because our perception here is they're pretty disconnected, disinterested, and this is kind of the first time they've come out of their cave to actually make a major baseball decision. So I kind of wonder, just A, just your perspective on that, but B, kind of what criteria are they judging against with a hamstring budget?
That is a great question. And I think it's one that Mark Lerner, frankly, owes the fans an explanation on. I think that if he wants people to continue coming out to Nationals Park and to believing in this team and what the future looks like, there needs to be a little bit more transparency in this situation, especially before you go out and hire a full-time person. Maybe that's Mike DiBartolo. Maybe it's somebody from the outside. But what I do know is that the Nationals, just in their approach to baseball operations, have differed from other franchises. They have leaned less on the analytics side of things. And I think it's fair to wonder just how much of an overhaul is Mark Lerner willing to fund? And I say fund both in the respect of, does he want to bring in, a higher profile general manager or somebody who's got experience and might cost a little bit more? Or does he want to bring in somebody who has that analytics background and is intending on taking the Nationals at very least up to the baseline of where other organizations are right now? Because I don't think they're there at this point, or at very least, they have not applied the information in the same way that other organizations do. But most of all, like, do you want to win? I think that's a reasonable question for somebody to ask him at this point, because what have the Nationals, in terms of their budget and their payroll, shown fans over the last 5 years, other than, I'm not going to say a disinclination to go out and win, but sorry, when you're a team in Washington, D.C., and your highest paid player is retired, and your second highest paid player is a Toronto Blue Jay, what are you trying to do here? Like, are you really expecting this leap forward when, a lot of the guys who you're expecting it from are coming from within the farm system, and players often take, as we saw with James Wood, a year to get their sea legs under them and to figure out how to be a productive player at the big league level. And right now, the Nats have three of those. James Wood, DJ Abrams, and Mackenzie Gore, all of whom happen to have come over in the Juan Soto trade, which I'm not going to say it saved this franchise, but it pretty much saved this franchise from becoming like an ignominious level team of the ilk with the White Sox and the Rockies.
Yeah, without that trade, I don't know how big of a difference there is between those teams and the Nationals. We've been trying to do this blame pie thing where we start with the premise that they don't spend enough money, and you're a 70.5 win projected team among odds makers. And yep, your highest paid player that's actually on the field is Nathaniel Lowe, a first baseman who's, going to go 25-100 this year maybe, but is a declining skill set. Your second highest paid player is Mike Soroka. Like, you don't get to make the playoffs when that's your roster. There was no commitment.
Correct.
And that's a fact. The other side is, for a long time, they've drafted and developed poorly. I wonder about resources in a week where the Washington Post wrote a story and said they don't have this technology that everybody's had for 5 years still. Mike Rizzo came on our station this week and said, oh, we're getting it. Okay, I guess that's cool in 2025 that they're getting the thing that some teams got in 2019. But I guess my question to you is, and maybe it doesn't matter, were they really bad at drafting and developing under Mike Rizzo to the point that blowing him out makes sense? Or is there a larger problem here that makes that almost insignificant with ownership?
I think it's more the latter than the former, but the former really brings light to it all, right? Like, if they drafted and developed better than they have, then I don't think we're spending as much time talking about the financial element of things. It's the Milwaukee Brewers corollary, the Cleveland Guardians corollary. Like, if you succeed, you know, it papers over a lot of those warts. Like, you just don't care about them quite as much because, hey, we're winning still. And maybe not winning to the extent that they could, should, in the eyes of the fans need to, but hey, at least they still have a winning culture there. That has not been the case with the Nationals at this point. And I think it absolutely begins with what sort of resources are given to the people who are running the baseball operations department. And when it comes to resources, the Nationals have lagged behind for years, and they don't seem particularly inclined to change that at this point. That goes directly back on ownership. And, you know, I remember 2019, guys. I remember just how good that team was. You know, despite the start, it was a really, really good team. Like, by the time they got around to the playoffs, they were a formidable bunch. And I remember at the, no, it was the GM meetings this year. I remember at the GM meetings, I was talking with somebody with the Nats. And I was like, you guys are going to go after Alex Bregman, right? And he's like, no. He's like, that's how much money we have for like 1 year of Alex Bregman is how much we have for like the entirety of the offseason. And that to me was damning because, look, 5 years down the road, we might look back at Mike Rizzo's tenure in a little different light. If Dylan Cruz figures it out, that changes things. If Brady House becomes a full-time third baseman hitting 25 home runs a year, that changes things. It's still a little too early, I think, to not to assess, but to pass judgment on what the most recent drafts have looked like. And Seaver King's another guy who, you know, in his first year, getting his feet wet, getting time to go out and develop. But it all starts, guys, with the money. And if you don't have any, it hamstrings you from the beginning.
Jeff Passan with us here on Grant and Danny. So kind of to that end, forget about money part for a second with when it comes to the learners. Give me the national perspective. I know folks just anecdotally in commercial real estate, for example, that have dealt with them, and the story's always the same. They do it their way. They negotiate by saying the price is a dollar, and then someone goes, what about 80 cents? The price is a dollar, and they do it until you go, screw it, and then you pay the dollar, and that's how they've made their billions over the years, right? They've just done their way, and I think that's been kind of translated to Major League Baseball, where they've done things their way, I think much to the irritation of folks at times. But I'd love for you to speak to that, Jeff, if you could.
Yeah. Well, when you have the second most losses since winning a World Series, maybe your way needs to change. Like, that's the question I really have about the Nationals organization is just how self-aware are they? Right. How much does ownership know about how this organization runs? But beyond that, how other organizations run, how other organizations are leveraging their assets to win baseball games, and how do the Nationals compare to that? And, you know, I think the best and most successful people in professional sports are the most curious. The ones who know that they really don't know a whole lot, and they're constantly trying to learn and understand their place in the game better. And there's been this gravitation, I think, of teams, particularly mid and small market teams, toward staying away from free agency. It's an inefficient market, and you're buying downside years. And all those arguments, they're valid. They're salient. They're true, but there aren't all that many ways to acquire players, right? You can get them in the domestic amateur draft. You can get them as teenagers in the international pool. And then beyond that, it's either trades or free agent signings. And with trades, you're giving up talent to get talent. Whereas with free agent signings, you're giving up money. And, last I checked, the learners were very rich and a lot of money and a lot of opportunity to take this team and turn it into something else. And we've seen it before, guys. We saw $245 million for Steven Strasburg. You know, we have seen them go out. I know this is a while ago now, but $126 million for Jason Worth. Yeah, they let Anthony Rendon walk. Yeah, they let Bryce Harper walk. So it's not always re-signing their guys, but it's not like this team hasn't been willing to go out on a limb financially in the past. And, you know, I would argue that Max Scherzer's original deal with the Nationals was, you know, one of the five best deals of this century. Like, he was incredible the whole time here, worth every single penny that they were paying him over those 7 years.
210 mil for Scherzer. There's almost like the line in the sand of before and after Ted Lerner stopped running the team, because, you know, all of the stuff you referenced was still with him as the steward. Jeff Passan is with us. We'll let you out on this, Jeff, because I know you got a lot
to
do.
It's not almost a line, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the line.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
There is a clear line
of delineation.
Some
kind of correlation. I can't figure it out.
I'll let you out on this one, but I just wanted to get some names. You're so plugged in of possible GM candidates, managerial candidates. And I don't even mean necessarily that the Nats have been or will be linked to, but just who are those guys right now in baseball that you would say, you need a GM, this is someone I would talk to, and similar for manager?
It is. I'm sorry for the cop out here. I don't know what they want, right? Like, if they want an old school guy, there are some of those available. If they want to go more toward analytics, there are plenty of those available. If they want to find someone who is well versed in both, they can do that. I'll say this: if I'm the Lerner family right now, I am trying to give Eric Neander the Godfather deal. You know, with the Rays potentially being sold, Neander went to Virginia Tech, so he has, I understand Blacksburg is not Washington, D.C., but, you know, Virginia is pretty close. And I would try and get him in and let him work his magic on this organization, because he is very, very good at what he does, both in building cultures and in building winning teams. And I think it all starts there. We're going to see just how much money Mark Lerner is willing to spend on a general manager and a manager, you know, arguably the two most important people in an organization beyond the players. And they have to get these hires right. So, look, it could end up maybe Mike DiBartolo does a great job at the deadline, does a great job in the draft, Nats start winning a little bit more, and they land on him as the guy. But if you're looking external, I think you got to take moonshots, because this organization, it's not just bad now. The farm system's not very good either. So it's not like going forward, they're in a great position to turn things around at this point.
Jeff, great with us, man. Really appreciate the time. Have an awesome week.
Boys, my pleasure. Appreciate you having me.
The outstanding Jeff Passan. Check him out on ESPN. He broke the story last night that Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez had been fired by the Nationals.